Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I'm exploring like real unconditional love and authentic relationship now. This feels like when you go into this phase of KI, which is what I call third phase, it's almost like how I experience it. It's already having had a life review. It's like dying. This is an awakening path. When you embody presence, I'd be surprised if you also didn't get a review of all the insights in your life about how and why you did everything. This is where, when people say they die, they have near-death experiences, and they're given a life review of to show how what you did impacted others. Well, just do KI. You'll see it. And not only will you see it, you'll be transformed by it. Deeply, profoundly humbling. This is why I'm talking about like covert narcissism. For me to have seen that me and a lot of the peaceful, good, compassionate, empathetic people that I see in the world are actually raging underneath and trying to get our needs met through that false facade, that changes a person. You can't be the same after that. So you go through this change, or I did, where it's not a life review all in one moment. The process of inquiry shows you all of your mechanisms. Go to the science or ChatGPT and you can see how much suffering comes from repression. It's staggering. So when you clear the repression, it is also staggering the insights that you get as to why you believed that, or why was I depressed? Oh, I see. Oh, it's all for the same reason. Simple. I had to suffer to get your love and approval and stay safe, which is another way of saying I had buried emotions. That's why I suffered. I had to believe in the separate self thing. So another way of saying, I had to believe that I'm separate and that I need your love to be whole and complete. I need, these needs need met for me to continue to be a separate self. That was my whole life. So when I had an awakening in 2007, that was just an initial awakening. So it wasn't embodied, that realization. So I suffered more with pain, disease, relationship issues, all because the awakening process wasn't complete. It's not to say if the awakening process becomes complete that I can't get sick or cancer. It's just saying that to whatever is associated with emotional issues got cleared up for me. I'm not saying I'm done. I'm just saying this is my experience. And so after the life review, it's not really a life review, it's insight as to not only does suffering end, but you get the insight as to how and why you were creating it. That's how it ends. It's by saying, oh, okay, that's for safety. And it comes into awareness through a process. But then after that is this phase that I went into, or that I'm in now, and this is an extended phase. You may not experience it like this, but let me explain it to you. Third phase KI, how it happens for me. So it's deeply humbling to be in third phase, because not only have you made your like buried hurt, or for me, anger conscious, but you're fully conscious of your needs. Or if not fully conscious, like you can't just get into a relationship to get your needs met again. It doesn't work. You can do it, but you'll see it and you'll spot it and you'll see the suffering, and it doesn't work. That's the good news. There really is only good news. But I want you to know that that is good news. Because that's how we end the suffering. When we make our needs so conscious And I've made my needs from buried anger so conscious that I understand now that the reason that I got on a spiritual path was because of trauma. And specifically, that I had to hold back anger and then try to get people's love and approval and stay safe in relationship, survive. So my entire life was devoted not to truth or love or all that stuff that we say it was. It was devoted to safety and survival. So I don't know. I didn't know until age 52, maybe, what relationship is. I just didn't know. Because when you have needs and repression, you're always trying to get something from someone, but then always trying to deny it, or just denying it. And it's so insidious. I've watched it now. I've watched it in my own relationships where people will say, I love you. And it's not really about that. I mean, I'm just sorry. It's not. Until we're more conscious and clear, it's not like that. It's more like this. I need your love. My mom and dad didn't love me, and I don't know who I am. So if you could love me maybe enough, I'll feel perhaps like there's nothing wrong. And I'm hoping that this relationship will make me feel like that you'll take care of that feeling inside of me that something is missing. And I need your love. You can't put that on a Valentine very easily and still expect a second date or a next date. And then, so it takes the romance out of it, doesn't it? Not really, because, well, it takes the romance. To me, a lot of romance comes from like delusion and shadows, you know? I'm going to go out on a date with this guy, and I've already imagined that he is not only better than the best man that I've ever seen, but also couldn't possibly do anything to ruin my life or anything, or you know how that is. It's like in the beginning, it's like, oh, this is love. This is like, he's so wonderful. Like, this is the, I can't believe that I met him. Like, of all people, I met the one. No, you didn't. Nope. You met someone who, the one who for now will help you either suffer like fucking hell or wake up and be free. That's what I think relationship is. It's like standing at a crossroads, but you don't know that you're there because you just think, oh, I'm in love. But you haven't opened the door of that yet. And when you open the door, it's like, fuck, this is suffering. Or this is totally transformative. Or something in between. Well, that's what happened for me. So when I do relationship now, it's just so different. I don't even know how to articulate it. Well, needs. When we have unmet needs, we can't love. So when I looked around in third phase at people, I'm like, I would like to experience authentic love. Well, it's already in me. That's the thing. So the whole idea that of needing that came from the repression. So you can imagine how just from that, one is different in relationship. Just that. Like monumentally different. If I don't need your love, imagine the bullshit things that I will not do. I mean, imagine all the shit that I don't have to do to get your love then. I mean, there's so much. I mean, so much. That's everything. Because now if I'm with you, I can just be myself and speak what's true for me. Whenever I needed your love, it's like it was always monitoring in some way what I'm doing and saying to make sure that I'm going to get your love. And what I found is needing love then got in the way of real love, obviously. So that right there, I could write a book on and probably will someday in some way. Moving from Needing Love to Being Love. There's my book title. If somebody takes it, I'm going to sue you. Not really. Well, let's do it together. But let's talk about repression if we're going to do it, if we're going to co-author it. Okay, I understand. You came up with the title, but it needs to be about repression, because moving from needing love to being love is what everybody wants. You may not think you do, or you may think you do, but let me say what I mean by that. People who need love often ask me questions about, what is it like to really feel like in your body that you don't need people's love and approval? And I'll say, oh, it's just, you can be more honest. You can be yourself with people. You can have boundaries, and you do. You can say no. You can laugh. You can be intimate. You can feel joy with people. You feel light if you're really open. And then the next question would be something like, but why would you do relationship? I don't understand. If you don't need their love, what would be the point? And I'm like, well, but no, that's you're trying to fix the mind with the same consciousness that created it. There's Einstein's quote. Of course you can't imagine your own freedom, because that's not safe. And so the consciousness goes, yeah, I can't imagine. Well, of course you can't. Your consciousness won't allow you to see what you can't see. It won't allow you to feel what you can't feel or do what you can't do. So what happens is we wake up, there's a new consciousness. We're embodying awareness. We're not just recognizing it, we're living it. We're embodying freedom. And we're taking the trauma that we experience and transmuting it to the potentiality that we are, to our actual authentic self. So how that plays out is deep transformation, third phase. This is why Dan and I broke up the path into three phases, because you can't compare what you're experiencing in second phase to third phase. It's a completely different group of people, a different disposition. I had to actually divide it up in the community so that people who are doing third phase can be, frankly, boundaried out from a lot of the drama that people who still have trauma have to sort of make people endure. I'm not kidding. It's like third phase is different. Relationship is different. See, there were people here who were breaking through the repression barrier. And what was happening is they were recognizing, me too, that we create our own suffering. And then other people were coming to the work who didn't understand they were creating their own suffering and creating all kinds of fucking chaos in relationship, in our community, posting shit, not doing their own work, like bringing toxicity from anger repression, even like passive statements that were really aggressive, but they didn't process their aggression and just became toxic. And so what happened is people are allowed to be themselves. That's the whole thing. So I didn't want to police any of that. What I wanted to do was create a better method to meet people. So we divided up and we said, look, if you're going to do this work, there's some work you have to do. You can't just come to our community and start posting. You can do whatever you want, but like that's your suffering there, and you're bringing it like you do everywhere to this community, which is you have the right, but here we're doing something different. We're saying, are you ready to look at that? And so some people weren't, but a lot of people were, and they stayed in KI. And when we put third phase distinct from the rest, third phase for me has been characterized by quietness and deep embodied peace and really deep insight and love that has no end to it, flow state, abundance. That's why third phase is special. I mean, this is awakening, not special as an ego, something that we should put boundaries around and appreciate. This is our transformation. When I looked up the history of transformation, I said, do people who get really free have boundaries to AI? And it said, absolutely. And in fact, in some traditions, and even in the densities, the levels of density, if people use that as their context, spiritual awakening, the more energetically free you are, the more you set boundaries. But see, because you have repression before that trauma, you can't express your authentic self. So as you do your work, you can express your authentic self. So that looks like boundaries. but it's not really boundaries. It's you being yourself. People cannot tolerate that. So third phase is a place where people know that that's what we're doing and that the people who are still coming from their trauma, look, they got work to do still. And I'm not putting all those people together so that people who first come here can shadow their authority issues or their sense of deficiency on people who are experiencing greater freedom. Because misery loves company. And I saw that boundaries are important and that certain people get to a certain place where they don't want to put up with all the fucking shadows and triggers that people put on them. It's like, you can only say boundaries, stop. That's your stuff, please. You come here to KI to look at your stuff. If you're not going to do it, then stop putting it on me. You know, that kind of boundary is difficult for people with repression, but it needs to happen. Because you do have to protect your energy when you have trauma. Otherwise, you keep suffering. If you can't set boundaries, you can't protect your energy. Even as you wake up and be free, it's okay to protect your energy. Because if you don't have boundaries, it's like going into a relationship to get needs met. And you're going to be trying to protect yourself unconsciously. See, when we do that. With repression, we try to protect ourselves unconsciously. When you're open and awake, you just say, no. It's a boundary. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not engaging in that kind of thing with you where you try to get your needs met, but you pretend like it's something else. You're trying to bamboozle me. No. I've done my work. See, that's what allows me to have the life that I want, is to have the utmost compassion for people that are suffering. Compassion, though, authentic compassion means I would like to help you alleviate your suffering. Go look it up. Because if you have unmet needs, your compassion is to try to get your needs met as a helper. That's gone. And I understand the damage in that. I totally do. But it's not where I'm at. And I'm not here to get my needs met. And that's where people go. They go to authenticity. And they need to have boundaries around people who are still trying to get their needs met unconsciously in relationship. That's the source of suffering. People who get clear, they don't just get into relationships blindly with people who will project their shit onto them and then just process it. And I never understood that because I thought, well, if I could just process every trigger, I could be kumbaya. I could make that my name. You know, I could just be so fucking loving to everyone that somehow I will overcome my suffering. That is not the way to overcome suffering. That's the codependency. Trying to be that for everybody denies what's inside of us that's driving our suffering, the repression. I mean, third phase is about no longer denying how we create suffering. And so, you know, when we first get here, people don't know that. They don't know that when they come into the community and they post something that says, you're wrong, or whatever, that has nothing to do with the other person. They don't know it. They can't feel and express what's true yet, so they have to suffer. But people who do the work, they don't have to suffer in the same way. So, you know, people who don't have to suffer don't always want to be in relationships with people who have to suffer to get their needs met. And that's not a mean thing. That's a very loving thing. That's loving towards self to have those boundaries. To watch people, once you've done your work, to watch other people try to get their needs met from you and not know it. If you don't have boundaries, what the hell's going to happen? That's what I've seen. And that's what has made me infinitely more loving and patient, is to be able to express what's true. And not to rush into professional relationships, collaborations, because people with trauma come to me to collaborate, like a romantic relationship. It's like, okay, hold on. Because people with trauma do that to get their needs met. They'll say, oh, I want to build a great, I love your work, Scott, and I want to help you build something here. I want to, I don't know, let's make a film. Let's work on a video course. Let me help you with your graphic design. I'd like to be a certified mentor. Can I go help people? And I'm like, holy fuck. Okay, stop for a second. Stop, please. Because we never do this in relationship. We never stop. And we never go, what's driving this? Why am I teaching? First of all, I did that work. Before I collab with you, I need to find out, am I just trying to get my needs met here? And if we rush into a collab or a relationship, is that what we're doing? Is just trying to get needs met? Because that's not freedom. It's not what KI is about. And I had to just stop and start saying no. I started to ask people, do you know what's driving you? Before we get into a relationship where you're so excited, do you know whether you're just angry at your dad or hurt? And then I'm dad now. Because I've been dadified a lot. Because I'm a teacher. But doing this work, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be in relationships in which people transfer their trauma. I don't have to go in there willingly and blindly anymore and suffer. So that changes everything, if you can imagine. Because when I start relationship, I hope that people will find that I'm honest from the beginning as best that I can be emotionally. And because I am not interested in suffering anymore. I don't need my needs met by doing that. When I see if you're doing that, it almost has to be a boundary or we have to talk. Like, because you're coming at me for reasons that are different than what you're saying. You know, and we all trust this when we're kids. Like when we're empaths, we know that somebody's energy is off, but we can't always articulate that something is off. That's because we have repression and we are trying to get our needs met. So that interferes with our intuition and being able to trust ourselves fully. In fact, our empathy overload becomes part of the reason that we can't trust ourselves and make conscious decisions, because our empathy is often monitoring other people to stay safe. It's not what it appears. And that gets in the way of true authenticity, because if we have to monitor people, we're really afraid. We're living from fear. So to enter relationships like that, where we're monitoring because of fear, and then expecting that we're going to really love or have this creative co-creation together, is just naive. Because what it is trauma. And if we can spot it from the beginning, we can have something really beautiful, actually. Whether it's professional, it's a collaboration, or a romantic or friendship, the possibilities are truly endless with relationship to me. I now see that. But I don't go willingly into relationships to get needs met. I mean, I don't do that. So that also changes everything. Because there are people who really like me and want to collab and I've said no to, and then now they don't like me anymore. But you know what? I'm not getting sick to make you happy. I'm sorry. And it's not even personal. Like an anger repressor can never do things like that. And an anger repressor will suffer because they can't do things like that. So when an anger repressor starts saying no and feeling expressing what's really true, they're healthy, but it can hurt. Especially people who still are trying to get their needs met in a relationship with me. What I learned as a teacher is that if I meet your needs by showing up so lovingly and making you always feel safe, then I'm like the unconscious parent, like a second parent who is treating you as a separate individual who somehow, if I can meet your needs, you'll be helped. But that's never worked in your life, if you look. That when you went to try to get your needs met, it was only ever suffering. So if you do that with me, it's going to be suffering. No different. But it's hard to learn that lesson because we need our needs met. That's what's driving our suffering with the repression. At one point, here on the team, the creative team, the trainers, I said to the team, we have to have a form where people can fill that form out and feel like that they're able to express to us what they see that we're doing that's unethical or wrong or something. Because if they don't have that outlet, then I think we're reinforcing trauma by teaching. Because look at the situation here. These are people who can't feel and express what's true because of authority, mom and dad. And then we're coming into their life to help them. But they can't feel and express what's true to us. And so if they see something in us, but they don't have an outlet, then this becomes a relationship in which repression continues. If you say to a person, well, just tell me if you have an issue with me, they often can't because they have repression. So I provided this outlet where safely they can write everything out and say that, you know, what is it they're seeing that needs to be changed? But what I do is I ask them to take responsibility for how unprocessed trauma might be driving the issue for them. In other words, they might be seeing trainers as mom and dad. They just don't know it. And they're fighting against dad, but it looks like it's us. If I just take that complaint and just listen to them like, oh, we're doing something that's harming you. That could be true. We need to look at that. But if you're doing something to harm us, you need to look at that. What it means is if you're coming from anger towards dad that you can't feel and that you're projecting that onto me to try to change something that we're doing so that you're safe, that's a boundary. No. That's not what openness in relationship means, where you get to put your trauma on me to get your needs met and I have to change accordingly, but you don't have to do any work. There is no relationship in like that in the world. So I think that awakening is always relational and that there's a we space. Like when helpers help people, the observer is the observed. We can't separate ourselves from the person and help them with their suffering. We're a part of it. The moment we help someone, because if I say, here, relate to your experience this way, I'm directing you in many cases away from the buried emotions. And then you're going to process something that doesn't get to the buried emotions, in which case your unmet needs remain. And so there's a potential for a codependency because the way that I'm helping you is to get my needs met. How? By getting you to love or approve of me and to feel safe. How would I do that? To make sure that we don't go to the buried emotions. That's how I do it as a helper. That's unconscious. And that's trying to get needs met, and that's never called out. Most helpers won't call it out because their emotions are buried and they're getting their needs met. Third phase is so different, even if you're a helper. Like it changes every relationship. People can't even become a mentor here until they're in third phase. Third phase is characterized by seeing that you create suffering to stay safe and get love and approval, that nobody is responsible for that but you. And there's no you. There's conditioning in the body that creates it for the survival of a separate you. And as that separate you dissolves because you get to the root, the repression that creates all those identities since childhood, you're in a different space and relationship automatically. Because now you're not unconsciously trying to get needs met, and then therefore they become demands on people. There's the suffering. So if I need your love, but it's unconscious in me, and when you don't give me the love that I need, I'm angry, but I store it. There's me trying to get my needs met unconsciously. Now, I might be aware of a trigger. Like if you don't love me or you do something, okay, now I feel unlovable. But that's not, but that's there being created so that I can continue to get my needs met. The triggers are, if I can believe I am unlovable, then I won't know that I'm forcing this on you unconsciously. I'm forcing you to give me love. I need it. And you didn't do it. So the anger repression so violently says, I'm unlovable. So it won't, it's a self-violence. I have to hurt myself. I have to hold my anger back and suffer to get your love. And the violence is an internal. We're suffering. Many people with chronic pain, migraines, energy in their body that's really uncomfortable is just hurting themselves, holding anger back, get love and approval. Just a few more words, because I like to keep these episodes at 30 minutes so that the attention span is, you know, I don't lose you too much. Let me just talk about what it's like. This third phase is just authenticity is all it is. Drop the words third phase. It just means now you're in a relationship differently. Let me just tell you about mine. So I noticed that I can love people without needing something from them, obviously. So that just looks different. Now, that doesn't mean that in every relationship we have to be up in each other's face out of fear. So there's a relaxation around the relationship. I love you, but there's no urgency. Like, I'm not afraid to lose you. That's not there. The afraid to lose. And so you can really love, and then fear doesn't get in the way. And that's just much more loving, because when fear is there, it's like it sneaks in and creates suffering. Even though there is love there, the fear, you can't really experience it as yourself, the love, because that fear comes in and creates suffering. So with that, the fear is coming from the repression. We need safety. So we look externally for that in relationship. We're not aware of it, but everywhere we go with repression, it's like saying to people, keep me safe. I need you to do that. Don't get angry. If anybody here gets angry, I'm going to suffer and leave. I need you to not do that. And it's controlling, but it's totally covert. So like if you do get angry, I'll teach you, but I won't teach you by saying it directly. I might disconnect. You know, silent treatment, trigger, defensive, shame, anything but anger. But you'll learn. You'll learn never to do that again. And if you do, I'll do the same thing and I'll teach you. But see, that's not love. And so I had to move out of that completely. Completely move out of that self-centered, narcissistic, controlling, manipulating, good boy bullshit. I got to be good. I got to be peaceful to get your love. I just was not real. And I just created suffering over and over again that way. So if I love someone, I'm going to speak to them directly about something. Because I noticed that it's not loving, it's fear-based to have things to say or things that you feel, but instead of turning towards the person, you stuff them down or you go tell somebody else. I saw this pattern in anger repressors, takedown energy. It's like we can resolve most issues directly with each other, but anger repressors never do. So there's triggers and there's conversations, you know, where it's like, I don't like that guy, you know, and then we spread the news, we spread the rumors and the, we saw this in our community, people with anger repression who couldn't face people directly, who try to take them down because there's such anger with anger repression. But we don't own the fact that we're trying to take someone down. So this is not something that I want in any of my relationships anymore. Not that I can help it, but like this is all trauma, trying to take people down, resentment, manipulation and control, whether it's overt or covert, it's there in almost every relationship. There comes a place where you don't want that anymore. Like you really don't want it. And you really don't want to put your pain on other people. But you also want to be able to feel and express what's true. And that's different than putting your pain on people. And there'll be people who won't understand that because all they do is put their pain on other people. They don't know what it's like to feel and express what's true. So when you start doing it, they'll think you're putting their pain on them. That's their work to do. When you're feeling and expressing what's really true, you're not responsible for their response. there's a safety element in terms of physical safety. You can't get up and yell in somebody's face and expect them to feel safe to hear you. But if you can feel and express what's true, like cleanly feel and express what's true, it is the medicine for whatever is going on. It's not like the medicine isn't to be present. We can't be present when we have buried emotions. We can't feel and express what's true. Our suffering comes from the repression. When we can feel and express what's true, we don't get into relationships to blindly get our needs met. When we see somebody else doing it, we don't just stay quiet to get our needs met, to get love and approval. We care enough. We love enough to say something, and the fear isn't there. And if it is, we know how to process it, because we know that if we don't show up authentically, it's like inviting more suffering. We take that much responsibility in third phase. We really do see that we're creating it. And that's so empowering beyond words, because up until third phase, we actually believe that things are happening to us, that somehow suffering is just happening, or that I'm a victim. And there's just no ownership and no empowerment in relationship or otherwise, even on the spiritual path. When anger repressors don't own their power early, they just invite more suffering. When sadness and hurt repressors don't invite or don't process the repression of vulnerable emotions, they invite more suffering on a spiritual path. This is my view, obviously. It might not be everybody's view, but the whole thing about me is I have to speak what's true for me. And that's part of being a teacher. It's like I was, again, relationship is all different, even teaching. I don't get up here and say things that are not my experience. I don't pretend to know everybody's experience. I think a lot of non-dual teachers are pretending. How could I possibly know the experience of someone who repressed hurt and sadness their whole life and their ego was angry? I have no experience with that. But I can help them with the repression. I have experience with that. But to say that I know that, or that somehow your suffering is just coming spontaneously, coming and going in presence, and that's the answer. That's not the answer. That's not why your suffering is coming and going. You're trying to get your needs met from buried emotions, just like I was. It's not even a mystery why the suffering is there anymore. When you've done your work, it's not. And people will try to bamboozle you and tell you that they believe this for this reason, or they're doing that for that reason. But you can see why people are doing things, trying to get their needs met. And if you're not doing that anymore, you don't want to just jump into relationships with people like that without having conversations first about needs that you have. You know, when we wake up, it doesn't mean that we don't have needs. We don't suffer, but the needs are integrated into our being. So if you're somebody who's really unconscious and who just shadows a bunch of your stuff out, I need to protect myself from you. I don't have to process every trigger. I don't have to invite you over every day and be really wonderful and kind and then just process the resentment. I don't have to do it. It's not required of me. And I could never say things like that. I was always just processing triggers and being the awake, enlightened person who has no problem with anybody, because he buries it. Now I can really love. I couldn't love until I could speak to you, until I could feel with you. How could I love you if I couldn't get angry at you? If that was off limits, then we were off limits. Authenticity was off limits. Love was. I put a link, as always, in the description for people who want to come and do my KI monthly jumpstarter group, where I mentor people in a group setting for 1 month. It starts at the beginning of every month. And then the other, if you go on the link, what I prefer is the 90-day one-on-one intensive, because that's where everything that I say on podcast will come to life for you even more than in the group, because of that customized care. Because you can see that everybody's really different. We all have the same structure, trauma, but how we suffer and what we believe is so influenced by what we repress that really it does take needing to meet people and really getting to know them. So you'll see when I work with you, I have a lot of questions for you in the beginning and some things to show you, but I can't show you those things until I get to know you. And with repression, I never really wanted to get to know people. Let's just point to presence. Let's just be here now. And I don't want to hear all of that. That's what teachers are like. Like, oh, that's just a story. No, I need to hear your stories so I can see what you get out of believing them. And that's always buried emotions. It's always, I believe that to stay safe. I believe that to get love and approval. That's how we approach it, by going to the root of the suffering that creates all that. Thank you for listening.